Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm all right. You don't have to not be in Japan to listen. If you are currently in Japan, it does not preclude you from enjoying the podcast. Enjoy it at will. Listen to it when you're out and about. Eating chicken and stuff. It's you enjoy Japan and enjoy Abroad in Japan, the podcast, at the same time. It's what we're here for.
It's a 4D experience if you listen to it in Japan.
Yeah.
It's like 4D, isn't it?
Yeah. Smells, time. What's the other D's?
That's where you come in. You can throw in some science. You mentioned chicken a minute ago, by the way. I've received two messages from Pete in the last few days. Pete doesn't message me that much outside of podcasts. I'm not that important.
I'm busy.
The first message.
You're busy.
The second message we'll get onto in a minute. But the first one involved Pete just sending me a message going, I ate some chicken and then I was very sick. And that's literally the message.
Well,
what's the story there? Why was this such an incredible event that you felt it was worthy to message me?
Well, I didn't just announce, I've just ate some chicken and it made me feel rather blue. We were finishing a podcast. We were doing some admin, basically, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning or something, and you sent me something. And I just made it clear that at that point, I had my head down the loo, I wasn't very well. And for two reasons, it was my birthday, as discussed on the last podcast, and I was given, for my birthday present, a big basket of hot sauces. And I'm not averse to a hot sauce, so right. I put on a load of chicken, working up from the weakest to the strongest. And I think I got about two from the end before my mouth started being on fire. And it turns out I'm not as hardcore as I thought I was. But the bad thing was, I can't figure out whether it's the hot sauce that made me incredibly unwell, or was it the chicken, because I locked myself out of my house, you see. I locked myself out of my house, right. And I had a load of food in my gym bag that I just picked up from the supermarket. So I was like, I knew my keys were at the bottom of my gym bag somewhere. And so I started posting, to give myself enough room to get my arm into my gym bag, I started posting the food through the letterbox, like a madman. And then,
and then
I realised that I didn't have my keys in my gym bag. I'd left them at the gym, and so I had to spend a good couple of hours trying to figure out where my bloody keys are. So, in summary,
hey, you would make such a great YouTuber with this exotic lifestyle,
yeah,
and the kind of capers you get up to in your everyday life.
Exotic, me posting meat through my own letterbox. It's undignified, really, isn't it? So that's why.
That's a low point. I'm not going to lie.
that's why I was unwell.
It's actually, you sent me three messages because I've been looking.
Uh oh.
Why you've been chatting about posting meat through your letterbox? The second message you sent is a picture of Julian Assange holding Pamela Anderson.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
all that about?
I think
why did that? Why did that come from?
Chris, you don't have bank holidays in Japan, but hot diggity dog, I got drunk over the bank holiday weekend like 3 or 4 times. It was smashing. I had a couple of birthdays to go to that weren't mine, so pressure's off. I had a little do to go to. It was great, and the sun's been fantastic here, and it's magical. And, yeah, so I probably texted that about 2 in the morning, but... What I would point out, basically, there's a picture of Julian Assange and Pamela Anderson. Basically, Pamela Anderson is now going out with Julian Assange, if you're not aware. They're dating. Yeah, they're actually dating.
What? Oh, my Lord.
And he is a man holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy. He can't leave. He can't do anything. He certainly can't iron a bloody shirt. Looking at that picture, I tell you what. If you haven't Pamela Anderson come round...
You've got 30% better. You've got 30% better with her around now, right?
If Pamela Anderson comes round, iron your shirt for crying out loud. I don't care. Order an iron in. But she's turned up with Pret A Manger's in the past. She's very much on his side. Fascinating, really. And so to people who, you know, find it very hard, going out on dates and stuff and being unlucky in love, he's holed up in an embassy... with no one to talk to, and he's managed to bag one of the 1980s/1990s biggest hot babes. So there we go.
This podcast is quickly turning into the messages Pete sends me throughout the week.
Yeah.
And the third message...
You're making me sound like a really geeky, like, incel or something. Why can't I have Pamela Anderson?
Because he usually messages me in the morning, and I sort of... My phone's next to my head, and he goes... Bzz, 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 and I go, oh, my God, what's that? And I sort of roll over... And it's like, Pete Donaldson sent you a message. I'm like, oh, God, not again. 7:30 in the morning, I pick up my phone. There's Julian Assange with Pamela Anderson. The next message is a picture of Shinzo Abe with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. And he's been served dessert, a chocolate praline dessert, no less, in a shoe. Now, I saw that, and I thought it was a piss take. I thought it was like something out of The Onion.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's real. It's actually happened. Benjamin Netanyahu served Shinzo Abe on his second time in Israel a dessert in a shoe. And it looks absolutely horrible. It looks just so wrong. It's horrible. And to do that to the Prime Minister of Japan, a country where shoes are like a taboo subject, they're kind of... People just hate shoes. You don't wear shoes indoors. Shoes are a big deal. I don't think you could have served it to anyone worse.
It's incredible, isn't it? Like, what I like about that... I mean, what I would say is when I send you messages that you wake up to, do you want that or do you want, a tornado alert or a North Korean missile alert? Or would you rather a whimsical little message about Benjamin Netanyahu? And I am enjoying the fact that you've been in Japan so long that you are pronouncing Netanyahu as if it's a Japanese name. That's very enjoyable.
Netanyahu. How do you pronounce it then?
There's a bit of a bounce to it. Netanyahu, I think, isn't it? But you're going, Netanyahu.
Netanyahu. Regardless of how you pronounce
Benjamin
his name. I don't think the buck stops with him. Apparently it was the celebrity chef.
Yes.
Segev Mosh, who's quite a playful figure in the world of Israeli cuisine. And he served Donald Trump, actually, in the past.
Right.
A much more luxurious-looking chocolate dessert. I think Shinzo Abe got
It doesn't look right, and the picture kind of suggests that some of the food might actually be stuffed into the shoe, like not just the mouth of the shoe, like in the actual toe of the shoe as well, which I'm not having. The shoe I don't like because it's like a weird black brogue, and the only people
it's
who
a
wear
leather shoe.
It's a leather shoe. I'm sure it's clean to an inch of its life and polished and all that stuff, but like. I'm thinking you can smell the boot polish. The only people who wear black brogues are murderers in Colombo. Let's make that very clear. And also, it looks like it's being served to stop all of the goop going into the foot of the shoe. They've basically used like some kind of cloth, which kind of looks like a dirty
velvet sack.
A velvet sack. Yeah, it looks like a
sack.
It just looks like a sock. It's disgusting. It's absolutely foul. So, Sergev. Well, Sergev, you've muffed it. You've absolutely muffed it. It's the worst thing you could possibly do.
I don't think you could have gone... I don't think you could have served anything worse, to be honest.
I'm trying to think what would be the worst Japanese food for people? It would be
That
something really loud.
Chocolate in a shoe.
No, it would be a train carriage filled with loud food.
Yes.
Yes.
Something to that effect. Like, yeah. I learned that Japanese take shoes very seriously quite early on. In my first year in Japan, my friend George and I were we went to a public bathhouse in Kyoto.
Mm.
And you're supposed to take your shoes off and put them in a locker, right?
Right.
As you would. But somehow, George went in before me, missed the shoe lockers, and just went in, you know, to the reception with his shoes on.
Mm.
And there was a little old woman there, she must have been in her mid-70s, and she caught sight of him, and she sort of jumped up. She looked like she was half asleep, but she jumped up with this furious energy and was like, dame, 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 no, no, no. No, kutsunui de ne, and like just literally grabbed him, pushed him towards the door, pointed at his shoes. And I learned from that speed and ferocity in which she leapt up and lectured him and pushed him towards the door has always stuck with me. And I've never, ever forgotten to take my shoes off ever since. So, yes,
shoes. I'm a man who...
Shoes
or habit. I always think what happens.
Sounds like
when
a game show. Shoes or habit.
Shoes or habit. Which one is
what
it?
What would you rather have?
What's in the box? Oh, God, it's the head of the Prime Minister. So the shoe thing, like, when you come into a place, what happens if you've got no socks on? Is that why they always have little clogs and stuff?
Little clogs.
I've seen little clogs. You get little slippers.
You switch into slippers and then off you go.
Yeah, you do, don't you? Yeah, that's true.
You do, you got the slippers.
But then your feet are touching the communal slippers, which isn't nice for anyone.
It's as fine as your feet, isn't it?
I don't
know. Yeah. It all gets a bit... The rules are rather obscure, aren't they? Let's face it.
I have rather long toes. I don't want people looking at them. I actually find... I think when we went for a meal in Hakata or somewhere in the middle of Hakata... Sorry, Sakata. We started to sit cross-legged and stuff. And I'm getting on a bit now. My knees... You know, I play a bit of football and stuff, and I've had knocks. And my knees hurt generally when they have to fold in on themselves. I don't do a lot of cross-legged work. It hurts the balls of my feet. As if they're touching the floor, it's like, oh, that's a bit sore. Oh!
You pulled it off, though, if I recall. You pulled it off with aplomb.
I was screaming all the way through the meal. The only time when I wasn't screaming was me putting food in my mouth. It was terrible. But we didn't get food in a shoe, and that's the main thing. Do it!
The standards were slightly higher.
Worst thing ever.
We're going to dive into some news topics today.
Mm.
Kind of news roundup. We haven't actually done this before, have we?
No, I like to think we keep people on their toes, though. You know, sometimes you'll get an email update, sometimes you'll get, a 2 weeks in Japan kind of itinerary. Which will have accompanying documentation. And
it's an inconsistent surprise, this podcast. You never know what you're going to get when you open that box.
Yeah.
Shoes or are they? You don't know. You never know what's in the box.
Come see, come saw. What's going to be happening? I don't know. Is there like a Japanese term for being random, or you never know what you're going to get?
You've put me on the spot there. No.
Well,
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
No worries,
so,
then.
No, I feel stupid.
You got a proverb for everything, broad.
I used all my proverbs in the last podcast. I used them all, deployed all my podcast, my proverbs, deployed all my podcasts, deployed them all, and now I'm proverbless.
Oh, never mind.
But going into the first article, and this is you sent me this again.
We need
this is pretty chilling stuff.
We need like a news bed or something. We need a bit of news music. Which I'll have to find.
Have you got anything?
I've only got ones that say Absolute Radio, which is the radio station I work for.
No, we can't steal. You can't steal your radio
show. Can't have that, mate.
You can edit something in secretly afterwards.
Okie dokie.
You sent me this, and it sounds like the plot of a Stephen King novel. it's something that went on in Chiba, which is a district just outside of Tokyo. Do you want to give us the rundown of what actually went down?
Yeah.
The title is Chiba Police Looking for a Man Threatening to Kill Kids Who Don't Play Tag with Him. Which sounds comical, but it's not. It's actually pretty sinister once you get into it.
Shall we just leave it there or just leave people hanging? I mean, I just like the idea of a man running around. On the 2nd of May... On the 2nd of May, police in Chiba Prefecture issued a warning to all residents that a middle-aged man is asking children to play Onigokko with him with the condition that if they refuse, he will kill them. I mean, I'm presuming that Onigokko is tag.
Yeah, it's just tag, basically. Japanese equivalent. with a slightly swankier name. Japanese tag.
Japanese tag. I'm having it. Onigoko! Two incidents occurred on the 26th and 27th of April around about 3:20 p.m. in Narashino City. A few days after your birthday, that's all I'm saying, Chris. You might have been still full of revelry. While a second grade girl was walking home from school, a man described as in his 30s, average height, average build, and wearing a white hat called out to her. "Let's play tag," he suggested, adding, "If you don't, I'll kill you." However, the suspect seemed to play a version of tag wherein he gave her a head start by closing his eyes and counting to 20. The girl would then seize this opportunity to escape and ran straight home.
Oh. Slightly flawed version of tag there. But it sounds almost comical, right? Let's play tag. If you don't, I'll kill you. But I'm sure he didn't say it in that tone of voice. So when you're a kid and an elderly person, middle-aged person said that to you in the street, and that doesn't really happen in Japan, alarm bells ringing.
The tag man.
Especially as when she, you know, she might run away. There's always that lingering sense that the game is still on, right? You never know what's going on.
He might still be out there. Oh,
God. He could be out there. It's pretty terrifying stuff.
He's on...
To put your mind in the kind of... To put yourself in the shoes of this girl, which presumably don't have praline chocolate in.
You can't. You don't know that.
No.
But, yeah, but, like, she'll only be, like, you know, how old's she? Like, so he's in his 30s. She's, I don't know, about 14 or whatever.
Second grade. She's,
what's 13.
That?
Okay, 13.
13 years old.
So he's only...
It's terrifying.
He's only, like, 15 years older than her. 16 years older than her, at a conservative estimate. So that game could be going on for the rest of her life. And that is a film.
That is
a damn film. And the person who wrote this piece about tag said, "Oh, it's not like normal tag. He gave her a head start." He's going, "I'm fairly certain you give people head starts in tag, don't you?"
No.
Did you ever play the game Block? Block 1, 2, 3, similar thing.
What's Block 1, 2, 3?
It's a little bit like hide and seek, but you've got a base. You start at a base, everyone starts at a base. One person closes their eyes, a little bit hide and seek. Everyone runs away, you give them 30 seconds, they go and hide. When you have found them, you hit the person, and then you've got to get back to base first. Or actually, if you see the person, you can go, "Ah, I see you, you're over there behind that wall," and you've got to get back to base before the person can get back to base. So if you get locked out, you're out of the game. Until there's only one person left. God, I loved that game when I was a kid.
Are you threatened to be murdered by a middle-aged man if you don't participate?
I don't know, because I was always very good at it. who knows what happened to all my friends I never saw again?
I'm impressed you even remember these school games. I don't remember what I played in the playground, to be honest. Good luck to the police in Chiba. I hope they find this son of a bitch. yes, I hope they catch him.
Well,
get him off the streets.
Chiba's always one of those
places.
He's
not the sort of person you want to spend prison time with either, is he? Can you imagine? Locked in a prison with him.
It's probably where they put
out
all the prisoners,
the
Chiba. Yeah, exactly. Let's play tag. And he's made a shank out of a toothbrush.
But while we're on the subject of crime, it's fallen to the lowest level in more than 17 years. In a country where there is almost no crime, or it's the country with one of the lowest crime rates on the planet, it's fallen again. And it keeps going down even more.
Hooray! Isn't that nice? That is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you don't really... Didn't I read a story somewhere recently that a bloke who worked in like a 7-Eleven, some bloke stole something and ran out and got in his car. And I think the 7-Eleven bloke diligently hung onto the back of his car and was dragged...
Hang onto the back of his car. Yes, I think that's true. I remember hearing about that.
Got dragged through the streets because he was so dedicated to not letting this bloke steal. I think it's like shoe polish or something really inert. Just let him get on with it.
That is a sort of dedicated workforce you find at 7-Eleven outlets around the country. The fact that crime has gone down in Japan is goes hand in hand with the recovery. For those of you who don't know, Japan in the 80s was heaven on earth. Everyone was very rich. And then 1989, the bubble burst and Japan went off a cliff. The economy went downhill spectacularly. And they call it the lost decade. And actually, Japan's had almost two decades now of economic stagnation, which has led to higher rates of unemployment, it's led to more crime. But since 2010, the economy has got back on its feet, thankfully, and the crime's gone down now over the last 7 years. Crime and the number of jobless has gone down as well. So, yeah, Japan's on the up.
Is that down to the fact that the population is also stagnating a little bit? which we'll probably come on to, because I think that's our next news story.
I think it's because of... I think Japan's finally kind of paid off a lot of its debts that were amassed during the lost decade of the 90s. There was a lot of debt left over. Lots of Japanese companies hid their debt because they wanted to save face. You know, a lot of CEOs and chairmen at these companies didn't want to make a scene. So they kind of hid the debt. What's going on?
Put it in a big show.
Hid it. They got rid of the debt, and now Japan's back on its feet. And I think Shinzo Abe's policies might have helped as well, since he came to power a few years ago. So, yes, encouraging stuff. And on top of that, there's fewer suicides as well. They've dropped from a peak of about 35,000 10 years ago to about 25,000 now, just under. So that's good as well.
That is very good, isn't it? Because Japan has a terrible record for... both male and female suicides, not great.
It does, it's pretty bad. Like, whenever I'm in Tokyo, I hop on the Yamanote line often, and so if there's a delay, there's often a delay, and you'll look at what it is, and it will just say, oh, it's a human incident, and often it's someone who's just thrown themselves onto the tracks.
Mm.
It's pretty common. And one way they tried to get that down was actually, if you do it, say you do it, you throw yourself in front of a train and whatnot, your family gets charged several million yen to cover the costs, and that helped bring down figures, because people didn't want to bring shame to their family, they didn't want to cause problems for the family. Often the reason people commit suicide is because they want to improve their family situation, in their mind anyway, sadly. And so that helped bring down figures a little bit, but it's good, the economy is back on its feet. And that's brought down the rate as well. But, it's a serious topic, suicide in Japan.
Hugely. And I think I've never sort of understood the... why it's treated as being... It's a lot less taboo, I think, weirdly enough. Like, to do it, it's seen as being way more, I don't know, honourable than anywhere else in the world, to a certain extent. I'm not well read on the subject, but that always seems that there's a long tradition of, you know, self-sacrifice and stuff like that in all kinds of, in war, in the samurai and all that crap.
It goes back to samurai culture mainly. Yeah, it was seen as the honourable thing to do if you lost a battle. It would be honourable to take your own life.
It's so sad
if you were humiliated in some way. Yeah. But it's lingered on. Still here today, it's still present. I've had situations, stories of students that I've known, as people that I've worked with, where it's happened. And it's a dark topic. Mm. I haven't really gone there before in any of my videos. But it's a topic I've thought about discussing. It's a serious one.
I think, for me, I
didn't know at what point was I qualified to talk about it, you know. And I didn't want to talk about people I'd known or people I was linked with that done it in Japan. It's a dark place. It's one of the darker aspects of Japanese culture. So it's a relief to see that it's becoming less and less frequent.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
And to my surprise, I stumbled across a secret, sexy club.
Wow.
Japan's population. Some statistics just came out. Japan's population has continued to decline. No change there, unexpectedly. It's fallen for the seventh consecutive year. And now people over 65 account for 27% of the total population, which is an incredible amount. The World Health Organization describes a country as an ageing society if the proportion of people aged 65 or older exceeds 7%. It's an aged society if the proportion surpasses 14%, and a super-aged society if it's over 21%. Japan's 27%. It's insane, and it's a real problem for Japan going forward, because who's going to pay for everyone's pensions? You've got a low birth rate and people that just live forever. It's a serious situation. And in the next 2 decades, I think it's going to cause Japan a lot of economic problems, to be honest. Japan's population is currently about 126 million, and it's forecast to drop to just 100 million by 2050 and to 88 million by 2065. And people are talking about how in a few hundred years or a few thousand years, Japan, there just won't be anyone here at all, which obviously won't happen. Well, it might, I don't know. Don't look too far ahead to the future, but yeah, it's a pretty dire situation.
Chris, you need to start making them.
Yes, I knew where that was heading.
You need to start making them babies. Right. You need to get to work, sunshine. Don't you be, you know, reading my messages in the morning. You need to be getting down to it and making some goddamn babies.
Need to take
babies.
A leaf out of Julian Assange and Pamela Anderson's book.
Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, in Pamela Anderson's case, I think she might have one of the hepatitis, so maybe a condom is very much important.
This podcast was supposed to be family friendly, and Peter's destroyed that. He's torn it up.
Literally talking seriously to children about suicide and talking to you seriously about safe sex and prophylactics. This is one of the most important projects in my calendar, all right?
But a few weeks ago, we read out a question or a comment about a kid. A listener who plays this podcast in their car, and their kid likes to sing along to the soundtrack of the podcast.
Wow.
Well, you can't do that. I mean, what kind of situation does that present now?
The child will not understand. The child needs to know. Everyone needs to know.
The child will be ahead of the curve.
Everyone needs to know about safe sex, about keeping safe, and can't remember where I was going with that one. Hats. Right. And all that stuff. And they need to know that Japan needs to sort out its... It needs to be more welcoming to foreigners. They need more immigration, clearly, because they can't be trusted to have babies on their own. So they need to sort that out.
Well, yeah. It's... Open I read a statistic borders. That Japan needs 200,000 people a year in immigration to actually kind of cancel this out. And it ain't going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen because of Japan's tough stance on immigrants. Yes, Japan's very good at not taking people in. I can see where they're coming from in that sense. In Japan, they're very conscious about having their culture eroded, which immigration could do in their minds. I don't know. But I'm all for immigration. And hopefully the time will come when Japan is a bit more open-minded towards it.
Yeah.
If not, because... I mean, just if anything, to save their economy. They have to do it.
Definitely.
Going forward, really.
I was reading this piece on the film that we talked about a few times because we blum and love it, or I certainly blum and love it. You've not seen it yet, Isle of Dogs. And there's a piece basically about Western actors playing Japanese roles, etc., etc. And people are sort of complaining that it's cultural. Well, it's not cultural appropriation, but it's basically taking jobs away from Japanese people and stuff like that. There was a piece in the New Yorker that was beautifully written. Just Google New Yorker and Isle of Dogs. Is a great piece about talking about the differences between the reactions to things like Scarlett Johansson playing the lead role in what was that film
Ghost she played? Shell.
Ghost in the Shell. Japanese people and Japanese Americans. There's not a lot of visibility for... So the Japanese people don't have this idea, this massive idea of race, because there's not a massive mix of races in Japan. Everyone's Japanese in Japan. So to see Scarlett Johansson playing a role like that, they're not as aware as an Asian person in America, for example. Yeah. So an Asian person in America is constantly co-opted. There aren't any Asian faces on television. All of the South Asian or East Asian people on television, there's like three or four. It's ridiculous. Ridiculously underrepresented. So for them, it's a bigger problem than the actual Japanese themselves. So it was a fascinating little piece. Check it out if you can. Have a little Google. It really is a fascinating piece of work. And this woman's writing about how much she appreciated the use of Japanese in Isle of Dogs and the kanji and stuff like that.
I still haven't seen Isle of Dogs. Every time you bring it up, I just feel bitter and sad and angry. It's the one film I really want to watch. I've seen loads of films this year. That's top of my list. It still has not come out here until the last week of May. And that's when Natsuki the Movie's coming out. So you've got to choose between Natsuki the Movie. We're not talking about Natsuki the Movie this week. That's next week's topic. Okay. We're going into detail.
You're going toe-to-toe, are you? You're going toe-to-toe with Isle of Dogs. Wes Anderson versus Chris Broad. Ding dong. Brilliant.
See which gets more views.
I'm having that. Lovely old job.
And the last story of the day, this is a great story. I only just saw it before we started the podcast. It's a video that's got 3 million views on Twitter in 4 days, and it's of a crow. Crows are everywhere in Japan. They seem to be literally everywhere. It's a crow-filled nation.
And they make that noise.
There's a video someone took at a train station, and it's just of a crow using the Japan JR Rail ticket machine. And he does a bloody good job of it. It's pretty scary. He uses beak to touch the touchscreen and get the ticket. And the ticket machines in Japan talk to you. And the ticket machine's like, thank you. Now please insert your money. And the crow's like,
I've got any money.
And the machine's like, where's the money? And the crow's like, rawr. And then the crow hops over to the next ticket machine, where there's a woman sort of standing there with her credit card gobsmacked at this crow, who is standing on the ticket machine touching the buttons with his beak. The crow comes over and the woman's staring at him, and he just pinches it out of her hand through his beak. Pinches the credit card, goes back to the ticket machine and tries to put the credit card into the machine to pay. It's as if he's actually just sat there all day watching people use the machine, and he's worked out how to do it.
Right, hang on. When I said I'd seen this, I was like, I've seen this, but I didn't see the credit card bit. She's actually given the crow the credit card. Now, that's foolish. Don't give crows credit cards.
She didn't give the crow a bloody credit card. He snatched out of her hand.
I'm just... If you got a credit card in your hand, a crow is not going to be, you know, a worthy adversary. You can just slap it. That's my credit card. What I like about it, he's protecting the magnetic strip. He's not got his little beak over the magnetic strip. He's having a lovely time. He's a clever crow. What a clever crow. Oh, fantastic.
So that's gone viral. Yeah, and if you're having a bad day... if you're having a bad day, that's the one video you want to watch. And all these videos and articles and things we've discussed in this podcast, you can find in the description with the podcast below. So have a look, check them out yourself.
Yeah.
Especially that crow video. God damn it. Now, on to speedy vocabulary.
All right, then.
So, this week we've talked about the news a lot. So I've got three items of vocabulary that link to the news. And the first one is the word news itself. What's that in Japanese?
I know this one. Nyuzu. Or nyuzu.
Close.
Oh.
Yeah, it is. Nyuzu.
Nyuzu.
Nyuzu. Nyuzu. Yeah. You kind of elongate the U sound. Nyuzu.
Nyuzu.
It's a guide, Igor. It's a borrowed foreign word. Right. So that's easy, yeah.
Yeah.
What about newspaper, though?
I know this one, too. Yeah. I was in the rice wine shop around the corner, and they sell a copy of the Nikkei newspaper for £2.80.
Yeah.
Oh, that's strong. I mean, I like looking at magazines and newspapers and stuff, but there's a news. I know we're doing vocabulary, Chris, but there's an AKB48 newspaper. I don't know how often it comes out, but there's like a newspaper just about that goddamn band, and it must come out at the very least weekly. But it's a proper. I'm going to say the word. I'm going to say the vocabulary. Shinbun. It's a proper newspaper. Shinbun. It's a proper newspaper, and it's just all dedicated to AKB48.
Have you ever bought it?
Yeah, I believe I did, actually, because it was the week I was out with my mate Mark. It was the week that one of the members...
What's even in it?
I don't know.
It
was the week that that man tried to saw one of their hands off.
Right. Bad week. Bad counts, yes.
A terrible week for AKB48.
God. Yeah,
and then I spoke to one of my mates who's a Japanese girl who works in Kyoto, and she said people are saying that it might have been she might have been the guy who tried to chop the girl's hand off was paid by the girl herself to get her more promotion. I'm going, that's a really cynical way of looking at
that's
everything.
Incredibly cynical. Yeah, that's. Awful.
I just always get the feeling
I'm pretty
that...
sure she didn't.
No, I'm
saw
I'm
my
very,
hand off,
I'm
it'll very, be great publicity.
I know.
That's crap logic.
I'm very sure.
On
and
scale
also,
of one to crap logic.
Women just can never win in Japanese society, it seems. It's just dreadful.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
That's a whole other
never
topic,
mind.
That is.
Yeah.
Last word. Last Japanese vocabulary word of the week. TV programme. Now, you know TV. It's Terebi.
Terebi!
Right. Terebi. What's TV programme, though?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. No, I don't know programme at all.
It's so the first is a two-parter. Terebi Bangumi. Terebi Bangumi.
Bangumi.
You hear it a lot. I don't know why. It's a vocabulary I hear a lot. Terebi Bangumi. Yeah, Bangumi.
Ah.
Like Bangumi. Bang and gummy bear. Bangumi.
Bangumi. Terebi Bangumi. I remember.
Perfect.
I always say that I buy little radios. Every time I go to Japan, I buy a little radio from a reconditioned kind of boombox from like the 80s and stuff. I bought one that was a television that had a little television in it, like a 70s kind of a beautiful boombox, but with like a little kind of CRT kind of screen in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get it to work because, for one, Japanese FM frequencies are slightly different to ours. But so you're going to get limited frequencies, and also we're all digital now. There are no analog signals. But when I was going through airport security at Haneda. On the way back, the guy goes, I basically just had this big, heavy box that was old and taped up, and it was just heavy and bulky. And he x-rayed it, and he didn't know what it was, and he just went, what the hell is this number?
Yeah.
I just went, Terebi radio, or whatever. And he just went, oh, so this isn't it. Just let me go. Didn't know what it was. I just said, it's a television radio. And he just let me go. So that was good.
That's the secret, they're smuggling things in and out of Japan.
Say it's just a television radio.
It's a Telebi.
Yeah.
Telebi radio.
Television,
yeah.
Mate.
Job done.
It's a television, mate. It looks like a stick of dynamite. Shut up. I'm going through anyway.
Why is there a hand sticking out that suitcase? Telebi, mate. Telebi radio. Oh, I saw this there. Easy. We'll wrap things up. Now we've got two last questions here before we go. Two questions sent by you guys. The first one, hi guys, Ami here. My question... I'm undecided about moving to Japan. How did you decide, and do you have anything you can suggest for those unsure?
Ooh.
I can't really throw that question to you.
Well, how I decided to move to Japan.
You wanted to, I know you did.
I did want to, yeah. I mean...
When you didn't get on the JET programme, and I don't say that to rub it in, because you always think I'm rubbing it in. I'm not, I'm sad you didn't get on. It would have been cool. But did you ever think... I still want to go to Japan. Is there another way around it?
No, I didn't.
You just gave up there and then.
To be honest, Chris, I'm very flighty when it comes to my aspirations. I'm like, I really want to do this. And then when I can't do it, I'm like, all right, I'll do something else then. It's fine. I don't dwell on things. Yeah, I don't dwell on things massively. I don't have many regrets. Apart from my terrible tattoos.
They're really all right. They're not that bad. I mean, my advice to Ami is, I don't know, just try and look forward into the future and ask yourself, 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, deathbed down the line, if you look back on that moment, would you regret not living in Japan? For me, I wanted to come to Japan on jet. If I didn't get on jet, I did have a few backup plans. I had Interac. And I also had Epic or Talk in Korea, which is a very similar program. I thought, if for whatever reason I can't get into Japan, I'll just go to Korea. Because I was more interested in having an adventurous lifestyle in Asia than I was in a specific culture. It was Japan, Korea were my top two. Yeah. Japan was my top one. But I think no matter what happened, I would have moved to Asia for that adventurous kind of different lifestyle. That's what drove me. So you've got to look and ask yourself, would you regret that decision? And that's the most important thing. You know, if you don't ever move to Japan or if you don't ever move abroad, how would you ever know? You know, if you don't, you know, you would never know. You'd never know. You might regret it for the rest of your life. And so it's worth trying at least once. Mm-hmm. Even if you come to Japan for a year and it's awful, you can go back and you can go, well, I went and now I know it was bad, which doesn't happen that often to my knowledge. So you've got to try it. You've got to try it and see what you think. So yes, just push yourself. You only live once.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
I hate that phrase. You only live once.
I mean, I might have said that a little bit earlier on this podcast, so up yours, Chris Broad.
Yeah, I despise everyone who says it as well.
Yay! Got an email from Jacko. Yo, Jacko, or Jaco, or Hako, I don't know. Could be Spanish.
I can't be Jacko.
Can you?
Jacko?
J-A-C-O, Jaco, Jaco,
J-A-C-O,
or Haho.
Haho, yeah.
Haho. Haho, hello, haho. You should make Natsuki holiday cards / birthday cards, and it'll have a recording of Natsuki's famous quotes. That'd be brilliant.
That's a genius idea. Yeah. Yes, we haven't had any new merchandise in a while, and that could be the way forward. Imagine getting a birthday card with Natsuki's face on it, and you open it up and it goes, "Go fuck yourself." That'd be just the best birthday present. I don't know, what other quotes would be fitting for that? Can you think of any others?
I kill customer. I like that one.
Happy birthday. Kill customer.
What was the one that we had last week, which was about meat? He was eating some Wagyu beef and he said something mad.
Oh, Justice Delicious.
Yeah, Justice Delicious.
Have a Justice Delicious birthday.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
Justice Delicious could be like his alter ego, like he puts on a mask and then he's just as delicious, and it could be like he's like a detective. Detective Natsuki, codename Just as Delicious. And he's like a sexy... He's having like a little sexy
There's so
romp.
Many quotes. I think my favourite quotes all come from the first video he's in, where he eats some British snacks. He eats some cheese and onion crisps and he eats a chocolate bar. And he eats the Cadbury's chocolate bar and I go, "Do you like it?" And he goes, "I like... really, I like." And then there's a cheese and onion crisps that he tries them. And I'm like, "Can you describe the flavour?" And he goes, "Cheese taste 50-50, onion taste 45.
Like, what's the final five?
I don't know
five?
How that works. Yeah. I don't know what that ratio is, but it's perfect. It's the greatest description of cheese and onion flavour crisps there's ever been.
Oh, they are
cheese
good
taste
crisps.
50-50, onion taste 45. That'd be the greatest quote to put on a birthday card.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I've enjoyed this podcast, Chris. I mean, I always enjoy it, but I particularly enjoy it this week because we touched on so many things. Crows, Julian Assange, food in shoe, suicide, and Justice Delicious. It had everything in it.
Yeah, if I could summarise this podcast in one phrase, that phrase would be tour de force. If you have any comments or questions to put to us, do send them in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next Wednesday, where we'll be talking about Natsuki the movie, which is coming out in May. It's finally coming out. And we will discuss it all there, the ins and outs, behind the scenes, and it's going to be fun. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, thanks for joining, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Keep it just as delicious.
mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.